God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. For the next 3 days, Brother Hutchings and Southwest Radio's Vice President, Dr. Kenneth Hill, will be talking about Brother Hutchings' newest book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. Book's rapidly becoming one of the most popular he's written in his 59 years at the ministry. Brother Hutchings, would you please tell us why you wrote this informative book?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. The reason I wrote this book, it's a book that I've been wanting to get out for some time. Peter said that in the last days there would come scoffers saying, where's the promise of his coming? And I doubt if one out of every 100 church members today ever hear a message on the second coming of Christ or the signs of his coming. Most pastors today fall in the category of those mentioned by Peter. If you call to their attention that these could be the last days and the sign, they say, oh, we've heard that over and over and over for years and years, and then they start remembering people who have given dates for the coming of the Lord. And it didn't happen. But this book, I wanted to give 40 irrefutable signs so that no one could say that they were not informed about the signs of the times in which we live. Dr. Hill, it's good to have you join us on these programs.
It's good to be with you, Dr. Hutchings, and I'm excited about this new book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. You were kind enough to send me an advanced copy, and I have enjoyed it. Thank you very much for writing it.
Yes, it's in a format tabletop book. Brother Ken, the reason we did this and printed it and presented it the way we did is that this would be an excellent book to put on a doctor's office, some lawyer's office, or any office where people come and wait for their appointment or whatever, or be fine for libraries also. And it's a large book, 8.5 by 11 inches. It's twice the size of the ordinary book. People can sit down and look at it. I think we have marvelous graphics in it to illustrate the subject of each chapter. And ever 40 of the chapters, of course, are related in telling a specific story or theme. But in another sense, each chapter is separate and stand on its own. So anyone waiting in the doctor's office, lawyer's office, or whatever, see that on the coffee table there in the lobby, they can pick it up and look at it and read a chapter while they're waiting. And if they come again, well, they can pick it up and read another chapter, or they can get the address and call and get a copy for themselves. But I think it alerts the reader to the fact that this could be the last generation. Now, Jesus referenced the last generation before the tribulation period, the generation that would be on earth when the tribulation broke out. He gave signs. Now, we don't set specific dates. We just don't do that. I know one of my trustees one time up in Canada underwrote a witness book over in Arkansas and tried to force me to disseminate it and have a Mr. Weston on the program. I said, no, I can't do that. And it caused me a lot of problems. But we don't set dates. But Jesus said, when you see these things, or when you read, when you hear, know that my coming will be soon. And so in this book, we give 40 irrefutable signs that are in evidence today that Jesus mentioned, or Isaiah mentioned, or Ezekiel mentioned, Daniel. So the signs are all here, and Jesus himself referred to the prophecies of Daniel. So these are all signs, and the book is in three sections, Brother Ken. I'm sure that you observe, have you not?
Well, I have indeed. You talk about the secular world in the first section, and I want to talk a little bit about that in this program today. And then you have a part two, which is about the last days, the signs of the last days in Israel. And part three is what's coming on because of all of the apostasy. What's going on with these who are ignoring God or changing the word of God and all of that goes with it? Why did you choose 40, by the way, Noah? Why the number 40?
Well, of course, 40 is the number of probationary judgment. You know, Jonah went to Nineveh and said, 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Israel was in the wilderness 40 years, during which time God was determined they were fit enough would come to the knowledge of the truth so that he could use them to be his nation. And on the Mount of Olives, Jesus prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the dispersion of Jews into all the world. Well, 40 years after that, it happened. So 40 is the number of probationary judgment. And I think when all 40 of these signs are in full evidence, then I think the Lord is going to come back. But these are probationary judgment signs that God has given us in this generation today to warn us what is ahead and to not delay our getting to know the way of salvation, accepting Jesus, to be ready for the things to come, or to be ready to be gone out of this world just before the tribulation breaks upon this earth. That's why I chose 40 signs, and I think there are 40 evident signs in the world today that these are the last days, and we are probably living in the last generation before the Lord comes back.
Well, now, in this part one, which is about the secular world and the signs we find here of the last days, you have quite a number of chapters. Now, let me remark once again that these chapters are very short. They're 3 to 5 pages or so. They're easy to read. This is a coffee table type book. It has lots of pictures, lots of illustrations in it, and it's a comfortable read. You know, some say an easy read. Everything Noah Hutchings writes is an easy read, but it's a comfortable read as well. And you can break it up into small bites if that's what you want to do. You have, in this first section, 24 signs in the secular world. And one of the things that we've talked about in the past in your history is the way people get around. And you have certainly lived through the time of horse and buggy all the way up, practically. Maybe I'm taking you a little bit back, a little further than you started. But
no, you're not.
You started slow and you wound up going pretty fast, going around the world in those supersonic planes. But tell us about the speed of travel. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, there had to be a speed of travel. Of course, when Daniel read his book, he was wanting to know when God was going to fulfill his plan and purpose for his nation of Israel. And when was the kingdom going to be brought in upon the earth that God promised? And the part that beloved nation Israel would play in this kingdom. And over, he would pursue God in prayer, wanting to know more and more and more. And finally, he was told in the last chapter of his book that at the time of the end, knowledge would be increased and men would run to and fro. Of course, the first chapter here is on the speed of travel. Would be increased. You know, when I was a kid on the farm, I'd wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning. My dad would have the horses hitched to the wagon and a bale of cotton, and we'd travel all the way to the county seat, and about 10 miles away, it'd take us all day to get there and back. Then when I was a kid on the farm back in the early 1920s, probably one family in 20 or 30 would even have an old Model T. That was just when the automobile was beginning to be used as a common method of travel. But even in my time, most people were still traveling on horses or traveling in wagons, maybe at 4 or 5 miles an hour, less than that. But Daniel said that there would be people in the time of the end, people would run to and fro. In other words, there would be increase in travel and speed of travel. And, you know, Ken, that had to come to pass. There was no way in the old world that the prophecies for the last days could be fulfilled with the Antichrist setting, say, in Jerusalem and having to communicate with the nations of the world. Couldn't do that. And we're told that the world would be at his steps. The riches of the world, the resources, the economy of the world would be at his steps. That means today, like someone would be in my steps, that means I've got to be within a block of me. So the world had to be either reduced in size or travel would have to increase. Because if the Antichrist was in the world 500 years ago, it would take him a year to communicate with Moscow or Washington, D.C. or Hong Kong. But now then, I can get out here on Will Rogers Airport in Oklahoma City and be in Moscow in 12, 15 hours in the morning. And then at night, I can be in Shanghai or Beijing. I've done that. And you have too, Ken. So in order for the prophecies of the world to be fulfilled and one man be able to control the world, travel had to be increased, or the world had to be reduced in size, the earth. So that is why travel had to be increased in order for all the prophecies in the Bible to come to pass concerning the end of the world. And of course, they said knowledge would be increased. And Ken, you know about that.
Right, indeed. And you know, that's your second chapter, but it's also part of that same scenario of the speed of travel and knowledge being increased. And just think about it. And you've got pictures in this book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. You've got pictures of one of the first computers, and then you've got a picture of one of these many teeny tiny microchips that's smaller than a penny by the penny's so gargantuan compared to the little chip. And it contains more information than the biggest computer used to contain at all. And so the knowledge is increased, and we see this all the time. And even how we communicate with the tiny little cell phones that can do more than computers used to do in the big companies. You also talk about the nations and the empires. And, you know, we have had such a change, especially since World War II, as it pertains to nations and empires. But there's supposed to be certain end-time nations, are there not?
Yes. In chapter 2 of Daniel was wondering again, as he was, I'm sure, about the world when God was going to bless Israel. So through a dream given to Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel interpreted, he is given the understanding of the rise and fall of empires until God would set up a kingdom here on earth over which Jesus Christ would reign on David's throne. We don't have time to go into much detail, but he was told that Babylon would fall to the Medo-Persians, and certainly that happened in 538 B.C., and then the Medo-Persians empire would fall to Greece. That happened in 333 B.C., and then that would fall to Rome, which happened in 163 B.C. Then Rome would break up into chunks. That happened in 500 A.D., and these chunks would tread down the whole world. And, of course, that happened because out of the breakup of the Roman Empire come the British Empire, the French Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Dutch Empire, the German Empire, so on and so on. So all these empires tread down the whole world. Colonized the whole world. But then at the end of the age, we're told these large chunks that came off the Roman Empire would be broken into many smaller chunks. That happened after World War II, when Roosevelt, Stalin, and Churchill met, and Churchill was told the Roman colonial system was over. You've got to give them all their freedoms, you got to have nations, and all the chunks were broken up. Now there are over many, many nations, over 220 nations, I think, in the world. So that has happened exactly as Daniel prophesied. And when all these smaller chunks, because of many problems and not able to manifest any kind of control or over their peoples or the world situation, they would again appoint one man to rule over them, the Antichrist, come out of a one-world global system. And That's where we're at today, Ken. It's evident that the United Nations, and now we have the Club of Rome, all these movements to, again, and our government, Mr. Obama is right in for this, making a global empire. That's part of his program, to set up a global government. That's where we are today. And that's happening in our generation. And that was prophesied around 540 B.C. or some 2,500 years ago.
Well, God's word certainly is sure, is it not? Absolutely. And there are 40 irrefutable signs of the last generation. This is a brand new book by Noah Hutchings. It's a coffee table style book. It's 8.5 by 11 in size. Lots and lots and lots of illustration along with some wonderful information. In this first part about the secular world, we've talked about a number of these things, but there are many others here. There are 24 chapters in this one section, and we're not going to have time today to talk about all of them, and we're really just sort of breezing through them. But you've got everything in here from earthquakes and epidemics and famines and wars and calendars and mathematics. I want to talk about that for just a little bit, realizing some people just get sort of glazed over when you talk about it. What signs can be found in the mathematics of calendars?
Well, we're told that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. God told Moses Israel could not enter the promised land on the 9th of Av. Now, the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians on the 9th of Av. The second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. The decree to expel the Jews from England was on the 9th of Av. Spanish Inquisition order came on the 9th of Av. Hitler ordered to kill the Jews in Warsaw on the 9th of Av. Jewish settlers were expelled from Gaza recently on the 9th of Av. So there is a mathematical pattern to world events. And all these patterns on world events we see taking place right today. That's another sign that everything is happening right on schedule, Brother Ken.
Well, when we look even at calendars, we find that God's word is sure, a sure word of prophecy, and we can certainly depend upon God's word. We're talking with Noah Hutchings. Noah, of course, is the regular host of this broadcast, and he is also the president of Southwest Radio Ministries. He's written a brand new book. It's 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation, and it is available to you through Southwest Radio. You can call at 1-800-652-1144, or you can go to the website, swrc.com. One other sign I want to talk about, if we have time, and I don't know if you can complete the thought, but in your 9th chapter of the book, you talk about Isaiah chapter 30, verses 25 through 27, which has the phrase in it, when the towers fall. This is an intriguing chapter. Do you have time to discuss any of that before we have to leave today?
Yes. Isaiah mentioned the end of the age would come when the towers fall. And that is an intriguing chapter. And I mentioned the world's towers. Of course, there was the Tower of Babel, and it fell. That was a dispensational change. Others have tried to build towers. According to what happened at Babel, towers is an overt effort of man trying to elevate his own kingdom above the kingdom of God, to not turn to God for help, but to find a way out of his own problems and to show God that he doesn't need God and that his kingdom that he sets up will be greater than God's kingdom. That was what happened at Babel. And, of course, we come, there was the Tower of London, the first one of the modern towers. Then there is the Eiffel Tower of France, about 1850. And then we come to other towers here in the United States. There was the Empire Building. Of course, it was not a real success. Then there was the Sears Tower in Chicago. And then there was the Twin Towers. And we know what happened to the Twin Towers in New York City. And then the tallest tower in the world today is at Dubai. and it's over a half mile tall, and it is the tallest tower ever built. It's 2,717 feet high, over half a mile tall. The elevators on it travel at 40 miles an hour. But this is the Islamic attempt now to show that Islam is the greatest kingdom in the world, and they will overrule God's kingdom and set up the kingdom of the followers of Muhammad. That stands over on Dubai, but according to Isaiah, this tower too will fall when the Lord comes, because every wall will fall, we are told, when he comes back. And we read about the great earthquakes and the problems of mankind when the Lord comes back. So I think this is a very intriguing chapter because it relates to what man is doing today in opposition to what God has planned.
And what we're talking about with Noah Hutchings is this brand new book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation.
And of course, Ken, we know there are things like the radio. Jesus said, when you hear these things coming to pass. Well, before radio, no one in the world could hear a president speaking in Washington, D.C., or somebody in Israel speaking to the whole world. And Jesus also said, when you see these things coming to pass. Well, the whole world now can see something happen in Jerusalem. And we're told that all the world will see the bodies of the two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem. That was not possible for this generation. We're also told that everyone would worship the image of the beast when he sits in the temple and shows himself to the whole world that he is God. Well, on the television, you don't see the real person, you see the image. So now then, all the world can worship the image of the beast, all nations, races, and tongues, languages, as the Bible says. So we live in exciting days when everything, I think, that the Bible tells us that's going to come to pass in the last generation before the Lord comes back. I think it's all here, and we've tried to capture that in this book. But thank you, Ken, and we're going to do another program tomorrow on the second section of this book on Israel, which I think it certainly is one of the most important signs that we're living in the last generation. But here now is Brother Jerry. He'll tell you how you can get a copy of this book, the number to call, or the address to write.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. The telephone number is 1-800-652-1144. The mailing address is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. A third way to contact us for the book is through the Internet. The website is at swrc.com. The 216-page book is available in appreciation of your $20 contribution in the United States, $22 for Canadian listeners. In the book, Brother Hutchings presents the signs and leaves it to you to decide if this is the last generation. The book is broken down into three distinct portions. Today, you heard about the signs in the secular world, of which there are many. Tomorrow, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Hill will take a look at signs in Israel. And finally, on Wednesday, they'll cover the terminal apostasy's signs. Call, write, or go online today for your copy of 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. The three programs in this series are also available. Get them on CD or tape for an offering of $17 in the U.S., $18 in Canada. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report over many of these stations, and be in your place tomorrow for another Your Watchman on the Wall program, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint, a feature of Your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting is Brother Noah Hutchings.
Homosexuality is defined in the Bible not only as a personal sin, but also a national one, And this particular abomination, we read that those nations that follow it, like Sodom and Gomorrah did, will suffer the same fate as Sodom and Gomorrah. Beginning in 1962, when the Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional to read the Bible or reference Jesus Christ in the school system, the court has repeatedly and flagrantly defied God and the Constitution and its decisions. A One News item dated June 28, 2010 reported, and I quote, "An ideologically split Supreme Court ruled Monday that a law school can legally deny recognition to a Christian student group that won't let homosexuals join." Now, according to this precedent, we would assume that no church that operates under a 501c3 can legally deny membership to homosexuals or refuse to hire homosexual pastors. Now, back in the late 1980s, when our national constitution was formulated and proposed, there was serious opposition on the ground that the judicial function could supersede all other functions of government. Now, Robert Yates in the Federalist paper wrote, and I quote, "They," meaning the Supreme Court, "will give the sense of every article of this consideration that may be from time to time come before them. When the court will have a precedent before them of a decision which extended its jurisdiction in opposition to an act of legislature, it is not to be expected that they will not extend their decisions, especially when there is nothing in the Constitution expressly against it. And they are authorized to construe its meaning and are not under any control. The power in the judicial will enable them to mold the government into almost any shape they please. Perhaps nothing could have been better conceived to facilitate the abolition of state government than the control of the judicial." Now, as Robert Yates warned 213 years ago in the Federalist Papers, today we have a socialist active president and also a socialist active Congress majority. There is nothing to keep them from getting across any interpretation of the Constitution they want. Now, Christians of our nation had better wake up, or our Constitutional Bill of Rights will soon mean less than a used piece of toilet paper, which is about all it's worth today anyway.
That's today's Bible in the News report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet. To get a complimentary copy, call, write, or visit our website. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website is at swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.